Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Brad and Body Podcast. Early January, some things are starting to heat up in the WNBL and NBL body. It's great to be back.
Yes, it is, and it's great to have games back. Like there'll be games going on with the WNBL this week, fingers crossed, and with the NBL this week, fingers crossed again, because, you know, it can go haywire very, very quickly. But at the moment, we're looking at seeing a bunch of games, which is a terrific thing.
Yeah, some good feedback last week as well about Jesse Wagstaff. What a great interview that was.
Yep, and I think we're going to have another gem because we've got another warrior of the league that's been around for a while and has covered a fair bit of ground. Why don't you give her an introduction, Brad?
Absolute superstar of our WNBL. She is born in 1990 in Barossa Valley of South Australia, down there in Body.
Wine country.
There it is. She attended the Australian Institute of Sport in 08 and 09, and during that time played in a couple of NBL seasons as well. At a time at the Institute, she then joined Bendigo, and she averaged 16 points in a game in a regular season and finished third in the league in this capacity. She also won the team MVP in that second season, and after spending two seasons there, she then joined the mighty Melbourne Boomers. Spent a couple of years down there, and then she went on to play in the WNBA for the Phoenix Mercury, spending time overseas in AZS Lublin, which I really want to ask about that one as well. And then coming back and playing a couple of seasons with Townsville and currently playing for the Melbourne Boomers again. She has had a stellar career in the national team where she's actually made her international debut in 08 with the Australian junior team earning a gold medal at the Oceania World Qualifying Series after making numerous junior teams. She then made the Opal squad in 2011 and that was in a lead-up game in the Oceania Championships. After many years being part of the Opals program, she has recently completed in her first Olympic Games and wasn't she great, which was last year at the Tokyo Olympics, unfortunately losing in a quarterfinals against the might of the USA. But she was part of our silver medal team at the World Championships in Spain in 2008. And can I say she was an All-NBL team in 2015. And for those of you who don't know, she is a family that is genetically athletic. This family is unbelievable. Yes. One brother had a stellar career in the NBL and the other brother is still plying his trade with the Collingwood Magpies in the AFL. We are talking about the legend of the WNBL, Tess Madgen. Tess, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for that warm welcome. It was actually quite nice hearing, you know, everywhere I've played. It's been quite a long career. So thank you for that very warm and detailed welcome, Brad.
No, I appreciate it. Look, thank you for that. And thank you for coming on. I'm just going to start it straight off. You know, you've got such an athletic family and everyone's involved. How did you get involved with basketball? Was it brothers? Was it family? How did it go? Start from the beginning, please.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I grew up in the Barossa Valley. So growing up, you know, in the 90s, sport was a massive part of country towns. And everyone that I went to school with, everyone in the town really played basketball in the summer and then footy and netball in the winter. And I played basketball all year round, obviously, because you can, because it's inside. And then my parents actually were president and secretary of the local basketball club. My dad was president of the football club. So it really is no wonder why you have three sports mad siblings. And my older sister, Carly, also played netball and softball. So I started playing basketball because Ben, my older brother, played. And it just looked like a really fun thing to do, especially with all my friends from school.
You know, I have utmost respect for country athletes, but more so for their parents, because they must be driving you guys around all over the place. You know, the miles they must log, that they would then be very, very thrilled to see something like Ben leading the NBL in scoring as he did a number of years ago, and the ultimate you playing at the Olympics. That's the reward, I guess.
Yeah, it's really crazy, to be honest. We did spend, you know, Jack and I, especially as the younger two siblings, we spent nearly all our childhood in the car and at sports stadiums. Mum and Dad tried to make it as entertaining as possible for us. But yeah, I think, to be honest, I think it did have a lot of a say in how in our sporting careers. I think being around sport, watching it, even if it's not basketball, you know, all different types of sports, definitely kind of helps your IQ for the game. And I think that one of our strengths when we play sport is our mum and dad like to call it our ball brain, or, you know, the way we read the play. So Huge credit to mum and dad, obviously. I think Sunday night, I remember them getting out the weekly calendar and trying to juggle who was taking who where. And, some days they'd be at the basketball stadium, especially on Sundays, from 8 a.m. to, 4:30, same as Friday nights. They were just lived in a basketball stadium, really. So massive credit to them. But I really think, they wouldn't have wanted it any other way, at least while competing in something and being healthy and active. And I know it was a huge sacrifice for them, but I do know they also love watching us play, and they still travel all around Australia and the world, to watch us competing. Yeah.
So can I just say, they are legends, Boddy. I'm very close to Ben, as when Ben was in Sydney, right? So, and they came and watched so many Sydney games. I'll tell you, the amount of drink I've had with your dad, he is just a legend, mate. He is a legend. I love your old man.
Yeah, when I grew up playing in South Australia, my team actually, Boddy coached. I played against both of his daughters, and he coached against us. So Boddy probably copped a fair bit from dad as an opposition spectator. He was quite vocal. I know that's hard to believe. So Boddy knows Gene very well also.
Yeah. Well, I think we should be dedicating this particular episode to them and to all the other parents, not just country, but that run their kids around and do that right up, until they're old enough to drive themselves. So, which is sort of, we talk about volunteers every now and then, the people that man the various ports of call in a stadium, from the school bench to the lady at the door taking tickets. But we sometimes overlook that the biggest volunteers are the parents, and is getting everyone there. So, Brad, I think we're dedicating this particular episode to all of those parents. But I want to ask you a particular question, Tess, and that is 2010. Do you think you've had a better year personally than 2010? Because that was the year that you won the Halls Medal in South Australia as our fairest and most brilliant player, and by quite some margin. You won the MVP, which is the Halls Medal is voted on by refs. The MVP is voted on by your peers. You won that by quite a margin to second place. You're All-Star 5. And I saw a game. I can't remember the exact figures, and I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but you scored in, it was at South Adelaide, and you scored in the 30s. You had deep double figure rebounds, something like 17, something like 15 assists. You were. Do you think you've had a better year as an individual in 2010?
Yeah, when you sent me a message reminding me of all those awards I won, it was quite unbelievable looking back at it now, especially, when I was only 20 years old competing in a women's competition. But, I guess the best year that I've ever had as a basketballer would definitely have to be the last one I just had competing at the Olympic Games for Australia. Yeah. There's nothing that will ever top that, I don't think, unless I play the next one and we win a medal.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Bing, bing.
I was definitely a very ferocious player back then. And I would like to think I've calmed down a bit more level-headed. Definitely, I think my teammates would enjoy playing with me a lot more now. That was a year that was a lot of fun. I think it really helped me play well in the WNBL the following year for the Spirit and make that first Opal squad as a 21-year-old.
Yeah, I remember you as a really feisty, competitive player. And look, in that Michael Jordan mold where winning was the priority and getting the best out of everybody, and that's not always well received by teammates. But I think now when I look at your game, I miss seeing a little bit more of that aggression that you had as an offensive player back in that era. Now you're a much more well-rounded player, no question. But there are games where I'm watching you play and I'm thinking, come on, Tess, just rip it apart.
My parents also say that to me. I think, I guess doing my knee in 2017 definitely has changed the way I play a little bit. I did it driving to the basket, doing a Euro step, which I love a good Euro step. So I think subconsciously it's definitely made me a little bit more cautious, but I'm definitely looking at getting some of that, very strong driving and decision-making after that back in my game after a bit more of a conservative start, I think, to this WNBL season. So, yes, that's definitely something I'm looking at implementing a bit more, Boddy. So stay on the lookout for that.
I will be.
I want to take you back a little bit. I love getting these analogies and how it happened. How did you get to the Institute? Was it approaching? Was it a tournament? What made you A, go there, and B, how did the contact be made?
When I was growing up, watching the WNBL on TV on a Saturday afternoon was one of my fondest memories growing up. And when I started, you know, finding out my favourite players and researching about them, they all had one thing in common, and that was to go to the AIS. So
interesting.
When I was at a junior championship, my parents knew I wanted to go there, and being the, you know, the very supportive, great parents that they are, they actually went to an information centre on how you can go to the Australian Institute of Sport. And I was so embarrassed because I'm like, Mum, you just have to be chosen. Like, you just have to be one of the best players. You can't, put in a request. After just finding that out, knowing that's where I wanted to go, my parents doing the research, I just put everything into trying to be the best player that I could be. And I was one of the best players in South Australia. And then after, you know, being coached by Neil Glidden at the South Australian Sports Institute every week definitely helped me develop my game and take the next step to be called up to the AIS. So I remember I was at school actually when Dean Kinsman, the coach, called me to offer me my scholarship. And I just, yes, I took it with big wide open arms. It was the place I really wanted to be, and definitely helped me become the player I am today.
Did college ever appeal to you, given that Ben had such a successful college career? Did that ever come up?
It did. In my younger years before I went to the AIS, if I didn't make the AIS, I knew I wanted to go to college. But after being at the AIS in that type of environment for a couple of years, and it was also more common to go play WNBL if you could get minutes on a team. So that's what I decided to do. And, you know, it worked out really well for me. I got to transition straight into a starting spot at the Spirit. So I really couldn't have asked for more.
No.
And that's the thing that's different with the Institute for Women, is that they get to play in the WNBL, where the men plays in the ABA. Isn't that correct?
No, AIS no longer plays in the WNBL.
No, Brad, it did back then.
We're in the 20th century now.
But it did back then. Did you not play in WNBL seasons when you were with the Institute?
Yeah, we got to play. I got to play two seasons in the WNBL, and it did actually. I think it makes a massive difference to development. You know, you're competing against the best women in Australia, and it just really shows you what you need to improve on to try and make it to that level.
Great. Thanks for just pointing that Boddy was wrong then. I appreciate that. So that's
not there anymore.
Not there, but it was then. That's what I'm getting at. Now, can I just move on, though? What took you to Bendigo after that?
I had Phil Brown. So I had Dean as my coach at the AIS for the majority of the time. But right at the end, I had Phil Brown, who, you know, him and Guy Malloy have definitely had the most influence on the way I play, the way I think and see the game. And he said that I should go to a team where I would play and be able to continue developing my game while being able to play minutes. And the Spirit had, you know, a bit of an opening in that 2-3 spot for a potential starting role, and also having the opportunity to play with Christy Harawa and be coached by Bernie was very appealing to me. And, you know, it really worked out for the best for me.
Now, what point did someone start moving you to the point guard spot? And was that the reason that you left Bendigo, because you're going to be playing point guard or saw that as your international future? And obviously Bendigo already had Christy Harawa. Did that have anything to do with your move?
Not really, to be honest. I wasn't expecting to play point guard when I went to the Boomers. We had Karen Harrington and Bec Cole that were both going to be the point guards, but they were both injured, and then I was the next natural person to kind of take that role. But it definitely has helped, you know, me being able to establish myself in the Australian squad and be a versatile player as either a shooting guard or a point guard. So it's definitely helped me, I believe, in making the World Cup team and the Olympic team.
Now, how have you been killing your time? Because with all the COVID issues that have hit the WNBL and the NBL. You know, we've been a long way between games, between people being able to train. How have you been filling in the time? Because we're resuming playing this week, you know, presumably. How has it been mentally and physically?
It's been pretty hard mentally, to be honest, to stay up and about, never knowing, you know, who your next game is going to be against. But I think Guy does a really great job of keeping us on task. Training's always very competitive. So there's definitely no doubt that we're very ready to play against who. We don't know. At the moment, we're playing Southside on Saturday night. So I think the way Guy goes about it as well, he has a very strong focus, no matter who we're playing against, on us and how we play the game. And if we play the right way, the result will take care of itself. So, you know, that remains our focus. And I think that also makes us very flexible and easily adaptable to whoever we will play against.
Well, you've got a couple of tough ones coming up, because you've got Southside and also Perth in Ballarat in this next little block. Will you be cleared to play? Will you be able to play yourself?
I don't think so. I would have got out of my 7-day isolation on Saturday, and we play that night. And then with the added game on Monday, I don't think it really gives me enough time to practice to get game ready. But that's my aim, is to play against Perth on Monday night. That will be a long shot, but I'm a very
You've got a good long
person,
shot, Tess.
So thank you.
She's imagined they can shoot the lights out. There's no problems. I'm going to ask, obviously you did test positive. I did last Friday as well, and I have to say that it knocked the absolute crap out of me for 4 days and literally couldn't get out of bed and I'm nowhere near a professional athlete anymore. For someone like yourself, I'd love to hear what it did and how did it go with you, and two, is this something you can just step back up and get straight on the court, or how's the energy and the levels?
Well, I think I got Omicron, which is good. Medically, I've heard that it's meant to stay more in your nose rather than go down into your lungs. So it just felt very hay fevery and like a bad head cold or a mild flu. So I was definitely bedridden for a couple of days. But now I'm back exercising. I feel fine. If I had access to a basketball court, I think I'd be able to train fine. I've definitely played through a lot worse, but obviously it's highly contagious and need to keep the rest of my teammates and the rest of the league safe. So I'll follow the protocols until, you know, I can return to team practice.
That's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, you're actually quite lucky, because we're doing you via phone interview. But I Brad and I have a Zoom situation, so I can see how bad he looks. And sorry, Brad, that's just your normal look. Sorry,
I was going to say, body, nothing's changed, mate. There's no difference there.
I do want to ask you, Tess, about the Tokyo Olympic campaign, without getting into the other issues that occurred with Liz Cambage and all that sort of situation. But after the Liz Cambage situation against Nigeria, where she was no longer in the team, you had a game against the USA, who would eventually be the gold medalist, and the team performed phenomenally well and beat the USA. So obviously whatever plan B was working. What do you think went wrong in Tokyo then?
I think, you know, in that Belgium game, we were winning with 7 minutes to go, and then we kind of just lost our way. I guess in big games in the past, Liz has always been there to kind of, you know, get us over the line, so to speak, or we'd never really been in that situation without her. And I believe strongly that if we won that game against Belgium, this would have given us, you know, the belief and everything would have, you know, the pressure wouldn't have been on as much. But really proud of the girls for the way they stuck together. And, you know, from the coaching staff all the way through to the players, we've kind of put our foot down and said the Opal standards moving forward, and they'll definitely not be altered for one individual person ever again in the future. So although on the court we didn't quite get the job that we wanted done, I think we still have continued on the legacy off the court and probably strengthened it a bit to just you know, we are one team and no individual is above that. And the standard that we have for one, we have for all. And that will be a very strong theme moving forward.
You've got to be excited about the World Cup this year in Australia. That's a team everybody would want to be on, surely, playing on home soil. Yep.
Yeah, I think so. A team will get picked to go to Belgrade, Serbia. I think that gets announced next week sometime. So it's a very exciting. We've got a lot of exciting talent coming through, and I think that really raises the ceiling for the people that were on that Olympic team or in the Asia Cup team, just to raise the standard and, you know, either try and keep your spot or try and make the team. So it's a very exciting time for the Opals. Yep.
I'm curious about that World Cup qualifying, because as the host nation, we're automatically qualified. So why are we obliged to play in a qualifying tournament? That confuses me. Can you shed any light on that?
No, I don't really know the ins and outs of it, but I think it would have something to do with the seeding of Australia in the country, and then, right, you know, what our pool looks like and stuff like that. So I think they'll continue just making all the teams through the FIBA windows for seeding and rankings.
Okay, now I've got one more question for you, and this is for the South Australian listeners, because, you know, you're a star from Barossa Valley. You're one of our own. You've played for Bendigo. You've played for Melbourne. You played for Townsville. You went back to Melbourne. What is it? Why didn't you want to play for the Adelaide Lightning? Surely that was the team you grew up supporting. What's that about?
Yeah, I loved Rachel Sporn and Jay Kingy. They were my idols growing up. To be honest, I just never really had the chance, or you know, I've always been, I guess, contacted by these other teams to play for them, and it's always suited what I kind of needed at the time. And I think, as sad as it is to say, as a former South Australian, Melbourne definitely is my home now. And yeah, it's kind of been my base for about the last 10 years. So I would have always, I grew up really wanting to play for the Adelaide Lightning, but I guess, you know, it took a different turn for me.
Yeah, well, at least you didn't say that Sydney's home. No one in their right mind wants to live in Sydney.
Her brother's the smart one of the family.
Yeah, you're talking about Jack playing down in Melbourne. Yeah, of course.
Hey, Tess. I did say at the beginning of this, and I wanted to ask, when you went over to the Phoenix, you ended up going to AZS Lublin. I'd love to hear where that and how that came about. Am I right? You went over there?
Yes, it's in Poland. So it's on the eastern side of Poland, so very Eastern European. After that season with Guy, when I missed out on the 2016 Olympics, it was always kind of in my plan to go and play in Europe. And Poland was kind of, the offer I got in Poland was from a good team. And it was kind of going to be, you know, my first team I'd play in Europe, and then hopefully get into a bigger and better league as I went through. But I did my knee in the first game of the final series, and so that kind of brought me straight back home to Australia to begin the rehab process. And then the WNBL is just, you know, one of the best leagues in the world now, so why wouldn't you want to play here? But yeah. Definitely loved my time in Poland. It was a real culture shock, and the style of basketball actually suited me. It was very, I guess, teamy and run through the set play, get it to this option. So it's kind of suited my way I see the game and my very meticulous, you know, list, like following the game plan to a T. So I love my time in Poland. I highly recommend for anyone, like when we can finally travel again, to go and experience the culture, but also the basketball is also a great standard. And if you ever get an opportunity, take it.
It's interesting. I hear you talk about how you loved it, and it's not so much also about what's on the court, it's what off the court it provides you as well. And I know Ben was, life experience. Ben was like, were you anywhere near being Ben, your brother, playing over there as well, or no? Or was he in Lithuania then? Where was he?
Yeah, he was in Lithuania. So he, for Christmas that year, Xavier was born, Ben's oldest child. And me, Ben, Bree, and my parents actually all met in Latvia, Riga, for Christmas.
Brilliant.
So that was amazing.
Yes. Yep. Got to love Eastern Europeans, don't you? Brad married. Yeah. Brad married one. He married one.
And yeah, Bonnie is one.
It was amazing. I had never seen snow before. The first day it snowed, I cried, and then it didn't stop snowing for 5 months every day, and then I was crying because it wouldn't stop snowing. So it's definitely nice. Very different lifestyle over there.
Okay. Now, Tess, we normally finish off with a bit of word association where we'll throw a name at you, and you can just, the first thing that pops into your head, that's what we want you to say, unless you've got an anecdote or something even more interesting. So, Brad, you want to kick this off?
Yep, I'm going to start it off. Guy Malloy.
Coach.
Nice.
All right, well, it's going to be difficult.
Okay, go coach. You said the first word.
That's fine.
Great, good answer. I'm going to go Christy Harawa.
Best point guard I've ever played with. When I played, you know, you don't realise, I was only so young, you don't realise that that's going to be the best point guard you ever have. So my standards were set pretty high. she was amazing.
Lindsay Allen, if you're listening, that is nothing personal.
No, Lindsay's great as well.
Yeah. Kayla George.
Oh, sister.
Okay. Oh, nice. I hope I say this correctly. I pronounce it correct. Izzy Magbegor.
Best human. She's too good for this world, Izzy Magbegor. Best human I've ever met.
Fantastic. Goodness.
Oh, I don't even want to say anything after that. Oh, I've got more. That's such a lovely note to close on.
I'll ask again. Don't worry.
No, that's lovely. Because that's how she comes across too. And I find that actually, having covered basketball for a better part of 5 decades now, the most of the best people in the sport are great human beings. Now, from your Andrew Gazes, your Rachel Spawns, most of them, when you get to know them, and it's so good to know that Izzy is exactly as she comes across on television, if you don't have a closer contact with her, that she is a great person. I think I'm really glad you said that, Tess. That restores my faith in humankind.
Yeah, she's an amazing person, Izzy, if you ever get to meet her properly. You know, sometimes on the court, I'm like, Izzy, stick up for yourself. But you wouldn't want her any other way. She's great.
Now, I'm going to we're just about to finish segment, but I've got to ask you something that has been roaming around Sydney now. Like I said, I've had COVID, so I've been in bed for a few days. I assume it's got national. Is there any truth to the rumour Lauren Jackson is coming back and playing for the Opals?
She put something on her social media saying that she wanted to come back and play. So I think, you know, I don't know if she's going to come back and play for the – I don't know what she actually wants to come back and play. Like what level, but
world championship this year,
best player in the world.
I think she's probably she's feeling healed, you know, like her body's finally really, really healed. Because a lot of the time, latter stages of her career, she was just dealing with so many different injuries that having had this long a break, I think she's probably just feeling really good and thinking, you know, maybe have a bit of a crack at something. So that'd be fun to see.
Yeah, it would be amazing.
Fantastic. Tess, look, we can't thank you enough. We could talk for hours, but thank you so much for coming on. You are a legend of our sport and just bloody legendary off the court as well. And thank you. We appreciate it. We hope you recover well with COVID. We look forward to watching you play out the season. And with the Opals, we obviously wish you all the best and take care.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, what a sweetie Tess is. That was really, really good interview. What a good girl.
Yep. It's a pleasure to catch up with the players like her and Jesse Wagstaff in the last couple of weeks. Just players that have been around and have got a bit of perspective in how they address what's happening today in the league. Yeah, pleasure
to have her on. It is interesting when you talk about more experienced players to younger people. You know what I mean? Just the way they sort of see the game, see the life, like you listen to Tess, and she was saying, you know, loved it in Poland and, you know, loved being overseas, because she also realises, you know, in essence, I've got, what, 10, 15, 20 years of basketball. I want to, you know, see the world and want to see what it brings me. So very, very educated and very astute person and baller.
I'm excited about the possibility of what we may have in store with Lauren Jackson.
Yeah.
I really am. You know, like David Anderson was still playing good basketball as he hit 40. So,
yeah.
You know, and Lauren's still Lawrence.
Speaking of that, Anderson's just taken up an NBL special projects and player liaison.
Yeah. If I'm Rob Beveridge, who's filling in for Brian Gorgian and as Boomer's coach for a couple of qualifiers against Chinese Taipei and Japan next month, I'll be grabbing David Anderson. I'll be grabbing Adam Gibson because you don't know who's going to be available from the NBL ranks. I'll be grabbing a couple of these veterans who are still in really good nick. I mean, you know, Adam hasn't actually retired, so that would be my starting point because I don't think Chinese Taipei is going to put in huge issues.
Mm. Do you see Mike Kelly was announced as the assistant for the Boomers too, which I thought was a good little get from Bevo there?
Yep, and Sean Dennis. Because I was going to say we should get Bevo on and ask if he's going to use Sean Dennis to get intel on Japan. Obviously, for the listeners who don't know, Sean Dennis is coaching in Japan, has been for a number of years, was on the program a while back. Yeah, but he's got him as well in the staff, so that should help in the game against Japan.
Yeah, hey,
I was going to say, isn't it great that we've got games back on?
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. Isn't it fantastic? But let's just go back to the last round. New Zealand, they broke their duck.
Yeah, thank goodness. Thank goodness. And I love the way they came out. You know, they came out in that 1-2-2 zone and then a couple of passes. We're switching to man. They really got Brisbane off balance from the outset, pulled away, and then Brisbane made this run. Then they pulled away again. Then Brisbane made another run. And they held on, you know, even though I thought they'd hit the wall by that stage. I thought the effects of COVID were evident a bit on the Bullets. I thought there was a couple of their players that looked like they were physically down.
Yeah.
Well, let's move from that to your Rose and Rattler. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm coming out of that game, and I've got to say my Rattler is going to the one and only Yanni Wetzel. 27 points and 8 rebounds. I commentated a game the other week when they lost, was it triple overtime? I can't remember, in Illawarra. I know it was at least double, triple, whatever it was.
Yeah, double,
he was phenomenal down there. Mate, is that our most improved player? He is playing phenomenal. Now, it's obviously hard for a guy that played well last year to then be playing, you know, get most improved. But I could not be more chuffed impressed, good word, of Yanni Wetzel. He takes my Rattler.
Well, that's a really good one because I'm the same. They went to him on the first play, the very first play, and then they went to him a number of times. And any time they went to him, something good happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, most improved player, I think that's a really good call, actually.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that with Wetzel dominating, you know what Brisbane was missing? A big inside presence, maybe Matt Hodgson. All right,
buddy. I love it.
My nudge is nasty is actually a question. And it's a question to you, Brad. Who is Devon Thomas? Because the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix have announced that they've cut Devon Thomas from one of their import spots. Did this guy ever play a game? Did he get on the court? Do you know what he looks like? Is he at the Australian Open hitting shots with Novak Djokovic at the moment? Who is this guy? Never heard of it.
No idea, but it's a good one you pick up. But they did pick up Brandon Ashton.
Yes.
Now, I liked him when he was at New Zealand.
So did I.
Very athletic. And he's been overseas playing in different areas. And I think he's come from wherever he's come from now. He's a better player than he was a few years ago is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
So that could be a huge pickup. I think the biggest drama they're going to have is just where you fit him in for minutes.
Yeah. Well, they've got a big game coming up against Brisbane in this round.
Yeah.
I think it's probably one of the games of the round because Brisbane has to bounce back after that loss to New Zealand.
Yeah.
And I think Brandon Ashley's down to play in that.
Yeah.
So that should be really interesting because I think Simon Mitchell, it's a good problem to have though, isn't it, Brad?
Yeah.
You've got a good balanced team and one guy's not firing and you've got someone else that you can replace him with that is, you know, it keeps the pressure on everybody. I like the looks of them. I think they're definitely in the championship mix. And that should be about it for us, eh? You've done your Rattler, I've done my nasty. Let's get out.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone for listening to Burger Boss.
Oh, yeah.
Our fantastic sponsors. Now, Boddy, you went down there and there was a bit of chat on social media. We put out, you put a little photo out there and it was like, what's going on? And talk to me.
Yeah, well, because like I said to you, I've worked out what it is that makes them so good. all the ingredients are fresh. You know, it's cooked, and everything, the lettuce, the tomato, everything is fresh. So you bite into it, and it's like, yeah, this is what a hamburger used to taste like back when you got it in a fish and chip shop, you know, 30, 40 years ago. It really tastes good. So when you're in town, we're definitely going there. No question at all.
No, mate, got to check out Burger Boss. Can I just say I love those fish and chip shop when they put the chips in the white paper and wrap it up with salt and scallops. Oh, God, buddy, I'm
just did you ever tear, you know, like a cold winter's day, just tear a hole in it and just put your hands in it?
Yeah. God bless. Piranha Media, thank you so much. It is fantastic to have the games back. We'll chat about them all next week. And, buddy, had a fantastic week, mate.
Yep. See you later.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Hey, you really got knocked around a bit by COVID, didn't you?
My God, this knocked me. I think I got the Omicron, and I got it on Friday. And I'll tell you, those first three or four nights, there was one night there, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to have to go to the hospital. This thing is just hurting. It's unbelievable.
And now, you're double vaxxed. Imagine the shape you'd be in if you weren't double vaxxed. I read that you'd have 17 more times this possibility of being hospitalised, and 20 times more possibility of actually not coming out of it. So, yeah, it's a good thing that you're vaccinated.
Ain't that the truth? See you next week.